Welcome to How to Teach the Bible. I'm really excited for all of you to be here. Come on in, guys. I was a little bit nervous, so we were just visiting our friends who live in Upland, the choir director at Taylor, who brought the choir here, and he said that a couple weeks ago he was at a choral director's conference and he was asked to put together a presentation, and so he worked really hard and put together this whole presentation, and he brought a student with him to like kind of be a part of it, and showed up, and it was time for the presentation, and not one single person showed up for the presentation. There were like three different options and nobody chose his, so there were zero people there. He said there was one guy that walked in. He's like, okay, well, he felt like, I don't want to do this for one person, but I will do it for one person. But he found out that person was just the person that the conference had assigned to be in there if they like needed anything, and he didn't want to hear the presentation, and so he said they just went out for coffee instead. So he said that, and I thought, man, well, I hope that somebody shows up this morning. And thankfully, you guys did. So really excited about this. This is kind of a pre-foundations kind of little, I don't know, preview, if you will. The way that this class originated was we talked about, as we are beginning foundations in September, we are going to have people from our church that are involved in teaching those classes. And so we thought, well, we need to do some kind of training for people if they're going to be teaching. And so we were going to do that kind of by invitation only. And then we thought, well, why in the world would we do that? Why wouldn't we just open it up to anybody who wants to learn and learn how to be a better teacher of God's Word? So I imagine that there are many different, each of you has kind of a different reason for being a part of this class. And we'll talk about in just a minute some of my goals, what I'm hoping that we'll accomplish in this class. The class will run, we didn't really have it all figured out when we announced it, but the class is going to run just in July. So we got 5 Sundays in July. So it will run in July, and then there'll be kind of something that happens at the end that we'll talk about in a little bit. But that's it. So it'll just be the next 5 weeks. Knowing in the summer too that people have busy schedules and things are different, we are going to be recording each of the sessions. So if you miss one, you'll be able to go on the website and watch that. So we'll make that available. And we'll send out that link to you. So I know that between COVID, which we had last week, and vacations, there's a lot of people gone. So I got a message from somebody this morning that said they wanted to be here, but they just tested positive for COVID, and I know it's going around. So thankfully, a lot of you have asked. We're doing a lot better, all better. Emily had it for 3 or 4 days. Owen had it for 3 or 4 hours, and then I had it for about 3 or 4 days. So yeah, you would think that he would have been down longer, but we got him one dose of Tylenol in him, and he was just up and just as rambunctious as ever. But and then I kind of like, the writing was on the wall for me when Emily had it and then Owen had it, so then I finally ended up coming down with it. And but was thankful to everyone who shared last week, and it was God's timing with the teams being scheduled already to share the trip reports, and everyone did an amazing job. So all that to say, so thank you. We were supposed to do this last week, but that brings us to here, and so that's why we're meeting this morning. Yeah, so let me pray for us, and then we will dive right in. Heavenly Father God, thank you for this opportunity to be together, Lord. Thank you for this room being full, Lord. It's so encouraging, and we just want you to do what you're going to do in this class over these next 5 weeks, Lord. I don't know what all that is, but we want to just be faithful in teaching this material, and we want to grow. So, Lord, I pray for every single person in here. I'm sure there are different levels of experience and comfortability with teaching and all those things, Lord, and different reasons for taking this class, Lord. So I just pray for each person that you would just allow them to grow in the areas that you want them to, and just help myself and Pastor Jerry just to kind of be faithful to this material, Lord, and that we would be a church that loves you, that loves your word. And just pray for every single person in here. We also pray for those who are sick and those who are on vacation, who aren't here this morning but are planning to be a part of it. Lord, just be with them. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before we start, as we start, I want this to be, it's going to be very participatory type class. So it's not just going to be me up here lecturing. You don't want me just lecturing for a full hour before you have to go hear me preach for 30 minutes. And if you don't participate in here, then I'm going to just make my sermon longer in there and you're going to make everyone pay for it and it's going to be your fault. So we need to participate. It's really going to be a very participatory class. And so as we start, I'm just curious if anyone wants to be brave and just kind of maybe share, what is the reason that you are wanting to take this class? What are you hoping to get out of our time over these next 5 weeks? Yes.
I'll break the ice.
Great, Bill.
Bill Peters, and I guess I've had the pleasure and honor to be able to teach in the past. Then we had a little lull, and then we're in the children's class. But I just feel like there's a lot of room of improvement for me personally, and we can all never stop learning
yeah.
to share God's word. And I'm just very interested and excited to hear what you have to say with your advice.
All right.
And look forward to it.
Very good. Love that. Anyone else? I also always say I'm just so comfortable with awkward silence, so I'll take it beyond what anyone thinks is possible. So, what else? Yes?
Well, I'm the crazy leader of the Women of Faith.
Yeah.
And, for the last few years, and I've never really felt qualified to teach the Bible study. We read it, we talk about it, we do it, but I don't feel like I've taught anything. And I know we had a lesson once on how to study the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Who, what, when, where type thing. And when I do that, I'm just all over the place. I just need some, I think, details on how to do it.
Yeah.
I give them a better teacher.
Yeah.
They deserve, except this study.
Very good.
I just want to know more.
Yeah.
Be able to talk to my children better.
Mm-hmm.
Anything I can learn about God, His Word,
Love
it. Love that.
Like I just always had a desire to learn more, partly, but our life group passes the responsibility of facilitating
okay.
the discussion, so hopefully I can become better at doing
it. Yeah, very good.
I echo all the above.
Yep, all the above. Grow. Learn more about how to be more comfortable with the word. Or is that, I mean, I guess that's a lot of us, like, just when I open the word, like, what do I do from there, basically? I mean, is that, raise your hand if that's kind of where you're at in terms of, yeah, I think that's many of us. That's me as well. And yeah, very good. I think there's a lot of different reasons for being a part of this class. And like I said, hopefully, and we'll talk about this in a second, when we leave this 5 week class, you're not going to be like, oh man, teaching's easy. and I can just do it, like, no, it's no problem anymore. Like, if that's your goal, then you're going to be sorely disappointed. Hopefully your goal is to, we'll get into it. So what are my goals for this class? So number one is just to make us better students of God's word, to make us better students of God's word. If you are going to teach a passage of scripture, for example, you should probably have a pretty good grasp of that passage of scripture. And so before we even get to teaching, we're going to spend a lot of time, and it's going to be primarily what we do next week, of just like, what do I do when I open a passage, like, in turn, if this is a passage that I've been assigned to teach, like, what are my first steps of even just in my own personal study of trying to understand what is the author's intent behind writing this? What's the context around here? How do I get to responsible application? All those kinds of things. So those are the things primarily we're going to talk about next week. But I hope all of us can, after these 5 weeks, again, and it's so short, and it's really going to be just a very broad overview. But hopefully we all walk out of this saying, I have a few more tools in my tool belt to feel like when I open the Word, I have a better grasp on how I'm supposed to approach a passage. So that's number one. I want us to be better students of God's Word. Number two, if somebody could look up James 3:1, or if you haven't memorized, you can quote it, but somebody look up James 3:1 for me. Number two is I want us to just be a little bit humbled at the task of preaching/teaching. I'm going to maybe use, as we talk about teaching, it's also going to be kind of principles in the same way for preaching. I'll use those words kind of interchangeably. I think there's some differences. We're not really going to go into the differences between teaching and preaching. Ultimately, when we talk about either of these things, we're talking about going to God's Word and understanding what it says and applying it to people's lives. So whether you're talking about preaching on a Sunday morning context, we're talking about teaching a Sunday school type context or a life group type context, that's what we mean by that. And I want us to, this class really should, again, like I said, I don't want us to walk out of this class being like, oh man, now teaching's easy, it's no big deal, I can just do it at the drop of the hat. And I hope in some ways, who's terrified at the idea of teaching, by the way, of like standing up and raise your hand? That's, yeah, a good chunk of us is like, so there's like a terrifying nature of that in terms of, there's a lot of reasons to be nervous about that. And I remember my first Sunday here, boy, were my knees knocking together, my voice was shaking, and some of you are like, yep, I remember that very well. Who is this kid who's going to be our pastor? And it was all your fault, because I'd never even preached two Sundays in a row before coming here, and you guys just still brought me in here. So I'm thankful that you guys have allowed me to really grow in that, and I know I want to continue to grow and grow in these things. But there's, first of all, just like, oh boy, I'm up in front of people and they're all looking at me, and what if I don't know what to say, and what if I forget, and what if I say something dumb, or, you know, all these, there's like, what do people think about me? There's those kinds of things. But that's not really what I mean when I say be humbled at the task of preaching. So does somebody have James 3? Yeah.
My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment.
Okay. So that's kind of a scary passage, right? Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. So I'm not going to have you necessarily just, if you want to leave, I guess you can leave now, but you're here and you're stuck in here. So, but we should be humbled at the idea that this is not something that we do flippantly, right? When we think about teaching or preaching the Word of God, there's a lot at stake, right? There's souls at stake. And so we want to tread carefully. But when we have the tools to do it right, that is when we can do it confidently, knowing that we're not standing on our own wisdom, our own experience, our own clever phrases or funny jokes or whatever. Like, there's, if you're nervous about those, like, that's normal to be nervous about these kinds of things, but about what you're going to say. But ultimately, we want to get to the point where we can say, no matter what, like, I'm standing on God's Word, and that is what I'm going to allow to work in people's hearts. So I still struggle with this often on Sunday morning, thinking, oh man, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if people are going to like this. I don't know. And it's just the enemy, I think, because it's not about me. It's not about whoever's preaching. It's not about how clever they are. It's not about how interesting they are. It's about the Word of God and the power that it has. And so I want us to be better students of God's Word, and then I want us to be humbled at the task of preaching, teaching, knowing that it's not something that we should enter into flippantly. So, number three, give us the basic tools to study a passage and put together a teaching outline. So hopefully you're going to walk away from this class with like very practical things where you say, okay, if I'm asked to teach a Sunday school or share in life group, or if I'm going to do a 5-minute thing on a passage, devotion on a passage, or an hour class on a passage, I know where to start. Like, I know the basics about how I'm going to study this passage on my own and then put together the tools for making a teaching outline. And again, this is something that it takes practice. It takes time and time and time and time and time again to feel comfortable with it. But I want us to have the basic tools. And on that idea that it takes a lot of time, I was in kind of like a weekend long intensive on preaching, and the guy who was giving it, he was a pastor who they used his sermons. I think they put him on the radio, and Moody Radio or something, and he had been preaching for three or four years in his church, and they asked him what sermons from his past that they could use. He said, don't use any of them for my first 2 years. I don't want you to even, and I thought, man, 2 years, that's a long time. And now that I've been in this for about 3.5 years, and I look back on some of the early ones, it's like, okay, I understand why. It takes a lot of time and practice, and the more you do it, the more you grow in it, if you're getting good feedback and doing it well. So we're all kind of from the very beginning here, just to have, okay, I want you to have the confidence to know, I wouldn't just be Googling how to teach this passage or whatever. Like, at least you can have some tools of your own when you start to do that. So anyways, that's number three. And then number four, here we go. I don't want you to freak out about this. So this is goal number four, is I want each of us to teach a short lesson at the end of this class and receive feedback from it. Now there's good news and bad news. It's good news for you, I guess. So the good news for you is that way more people signed up for this than we thought, and so we don't have time for every single person, for you guys to like teach in front of it. This was going to be like the last week or two we were going to have everyone do their lessons, but there's just way too many of us that are signed up. So instead, what you're going to do is you're going to record a 5 to 7 minute lesson on a passage, and you're going to send it in, and then I'll watch it over time and then give some feedback on it. So I know it's maybe a little bit scary. Maybe some of you are like, you're just like, I ain't doing that. Like, I'm not being graded and I'm not doing that. You are doing it, okay? It's going to be great. It's the number one thing. If you ask me, the number one thing for me that helped my teaching, maybe I've even preached about this before, I don't know, but when I was in seminary and like just starting out in this, we had a pastor. My pastor would have, there were three or four of us seminary students that went to the church, and he'd have us once a month on a Saturday come in and do like a 10-minute sermon, and then we'd be done, and then he would say, okay, thank you, and then just spend like 15 minutes just ripping it to shreds, just everything we said, just like, and it was very difficult. It was very scary, but in the end, it was so helpful to me. Now, I'm not going to rip your lessons to shreds, okay? This is different. You're not seminary students. You're not trying to go into full-time ministry. But I am going to give both positive feedback and things that just can help you grow for the next time. So I will be way gentler than he will, but also you're going to do way better than I did back then, so you don't even have to worry about that. But that's going to be the end of the class. You're going to put together a short lesson and record it and send it in. Sound good? We're going to get some head nods. That this sound okay? It's getting a lot more no's than yeses. It's going to be great. So, all right, here we go. We're going to start with an activity here. This is going to take up the bulk of our time this morning. So what you're going to do, so hopefully you all have a Bible, notebook and pen, you're going to read through, kind of speed read through, the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And you're going to make a note of every time that they refer to preaching or teaching in any way, and then kind of what you can learn from each reference. So I have the example at the bottom. So 1st Timothy 1:3 says, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. So avoid teaching false doctrine. So just very simple, just kind of find the reference, and then kind of a very simple, just like, okay, what does this mean? How does this relate to preaching or teaching? And whichever table finds the most references in the pastoral epistles wins. I don't have a prize, but you just have bragging rights, okay? So we're going to take the next 20 or so minutes, and you're going to do this at your tables. Find as many as you can, and then what they mean about teaching or preaching. Any questions? Sound good? All right.
Read the whole chapter.
Go for it. The whole, all three books. Yeah, you're really going through. You can break them up if you want to, but yeah, all three books.
And keep a compiled list.
And keep a list, yep. And then we're going to go through them together. Okay. Time's up. This is great. This is going to be really good practice for me to actually, when we start the foundations classes, end them at 10:15, which I'm just realizing for the first time is going to be extremely difficult for me. So I'm going to have to push myself to do that. So here we go. So what did we come up with? Let's start just 1 Timothy 1. We already said 1:3, talking about false teaching, right?
1:7.
Can you read it?
Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they're saying or things about which they're making assertions. And going on that, and up in this certain verse in verse 1, ranging from basically good teaching.
Yeah. That verse. I can't think of a verse that better sums up our current culture and society than that one. Desiring to be teachers of the law, what is it? They make confident assertions without understanding the things that they're talking about, essentially. It's like, yep, that's us. That's guilty as charged. So what would you say is kind of, how did you kind of sum that up?
Having that desire without understanding.
Yeah. Have understanding. Yeah. Desire without understanding. All right, what else? We'll have to go through these pretty quick.
1:20.
Uh-huh.
Among them are a couple names, Alexander.
Yep.
Whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme.
Uh-huh. What did that have to do with... teaching, did you say?
What comes out of our mouth should be honest. And
yep, okay. So true, speak true words. Yep, very good. What else? I just keep...
15, 1 Timothy 15, it's the main theme of that one, is Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and which I am one, Paul said.
Uh-huh.
We all are. That he received mercy for that reason. That in foremost Jesus Christ may display his perfect patience as an example of those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
Okay. What did that one have to do with teaching, did you say?
Teaching everybody what Jesus Christ is about.
Okay.
The main theme, why he died on the cross and came to us, and for all sinners, and later it talks about for Gentiles and Jews. And it's kind of a main
thing. Okay, so keeping the gospel centered, maybe? I'll give you that. That's a little of a stretch with teaching, but I'll give it to you, Bill. What else?
2:7.
Okay.
Yeah, it both says that he was appointed as a preacher and apostle.
Okay.
So we can be appointed or chosen, put into that position.
Yep, Paul appointed. As what was it, preacher?
Preacher and apostle is what he said.
Very good. What else?
Verse 12.
2:12?
Yep.
Which says?
So this is from the Bible. I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet.
Okay, that is beyond the scope of this class to address all the all that is there. But so there's we'll say. Rules, and we're just gonna move right past that for now. We can address that later. We're gonna just.
I heard it. Nobody else was speaking.
Yeah, I wondered why it got so quiet all of a sudden. That makes sense. All right, what else?
3:2.
Okay.
Overseers should be teachers, or able to teach.
Yeah. So church leaders. That's a big one.
3:1 and 2, I would say.
Yeah. Able to teach, yeah.
Verse
What else? We gotta go fast. We got a bunch to get through. 3:8. All right.
Deacons. We talked about deacons.
Okay. What does it say about deacons?
Respect.
Uh huh.
Sincere. Not indulging in wine.
Uh huh.
Being pursuing his honest gain.
Okay.
So have a moral compass.
Okay. Which is also true when it comes to overseer. So when you think about the two roles, biblical roles in church leadership, elder / pastor / overseer, all kind of the same word, shepherd, and then deacon. And there's one difference between those in terms of what they're called to. What is the one difference between those two?
Teaching.
Able to teach. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So that it's the same list of things that they, in terms of the way they live morally, what the standard they're called to. The difference in that role is if you are if you're called to be an elder of a church, you are at some level going to be able to teach, and that can kind of mean different things. But there's some, you're able in some way to explain the Word of God to people to where they can understand it. So, all right, what else?
The idea that may have departed from the faith end up into bad teaching.
Yeah. So again, false teaching. What else?
4:7-8.
Uh-huh.
Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important. More promises of reward in both this life and the next. Don't waste your time on meaningless things. Make sure you're in the Word, that you study the Word, that you know the Word, and know how to apply the Word.
Yep. Very, very good. Yep. Don't waste your time exercising. That's not important. Just kidding. That's not the point of that. What about 4:6? Did anyone have 4:6?
4:6.
Well, Tom, what did you say for 4:6?
It says if you point these things out for the brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what does that mean?
Well, it means that you can show the truth.
Yeah.
In certain situations.
Yeah. If I'm not... If you put these things before the brothers, right, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, what it says. So if I'm not primarily explaining God's word and applying it in our life of our church, then I am not being a good servant and a good shepherd. So put these things before the brothers. Yep.
4:11-12.
Yep.
Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you teach, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Just be encouraged that you know that you have to live by the word and lead it by example.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
That we're all called to be God's children and his disciples and his word and sharing his gospel.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. What else?
4:13.
Be devoted to teaching. Yep. So it's something to devote yourself to. I mean, that's a key. I think it's a big one. Not just if you have time for it, right? Be devoted to it. It's something that is supposed to be a priority in the life of a pastor.
Follow right up with that too.
Can you read 16?
16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, and in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Yeah, exactly.
And 15 goes along with it as well, as practice these things.
Yes.
Practice.
Yes, yes. What else? Chapter 5, anything?
Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in teaching and teaching.
Say that again.
It's verse 7 and 5. Give
the people these instructions to, so that no one may be open to blame.
Yep. Yep.
He's talking about taking care of the women.
Anything else in 5?
21 and 22.
Like, who said that?
Me.
Okay, yeah. What'd you say?
21 and 22.
Okay.
Solemnly command you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and the holy angels to obey these instructions without taking sides or showing any special favor to anyone. Never be in a hurry about appointing an elder. Do not participate in the sins of others and keep yourself here. We're called to, you know, come to them where they are in their life and their current struggles right now, where they are and in their sin, but not to actually succumb to their sin.
Mm.
So we must be willing to teach and to go in the mud,
yeah,
and in the dirt where they're at,
yeah,
and then lift them up without ourselves falling into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Who's 21 and 22? What about chapter 6?
Back up to 5:17.
Uh-huh.
The belong to explicit books, these preaching and teaching.
Right. Yeah, it says, yeah, especially those who labor in teaching and preaching. So there is, it's interesting, every elder is one of the qualifications to be able to teach, but yet there's some that are especially laboring in that. They're spending more time in that, so it's interesting to look at that. Anything else? What about chapter 6? You guys found way more than I did, by the way, so.
Yeah, 6:1. Yeah, it's talking about, yeah, those living under Joseph's bondservants, but, yeah, there's how they live being connected to teaching not being reviled. So living well so that the teaching that's being put forth isn't looked down on.
Yes, yeah. So your how you live, it really matters. Anything else in 1 Timothy?
Verse 17 says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant. That's a form of teaching, is the command.
Yep.
And the teaching should have some authority.
Yep. About 6:2.
Yep.
Teach and urge these things.
And 6:3.
What's that say?
Yeah, if anyone teaches a different doctrine, does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and teaching the accord of God, unless he has puffed up conceit and understands nothing.
Yeah. How would you sum that up?
Warning.
Yeah.
Warning, yeah. All right. Okay.
Can we grab the keys, the camera?
Oh, you need the camera?
Yeah, are you recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just I'll bring it in later. All right, what about 2 Timothy?
One, 7 and 8 says that God does exist in the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind and self discipline. And then it says, don't be ashamed to testify.
Yeah. Love that. What else?
1:11.
Uh-huh.
It talks about how through the good news that we are saved.
Through the good news that we are saved?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. How do you hear the good news? Somebody?
Preaches
it to you. That's right. How are they to hear without someone preaching? What else?
1:13. Keep a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love.
Yep.
1:12.
Yep.
Paul is suffering because of the things he's teaching.
So it's no longer readable, but that's okay.
1:14, to guard the truth that's been entrusted to you.
Yep.
Two.
reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what, I mean, you see, think about the context of these letters. That's what Paul is urging Timothy to do as a pastor. What's his role as a pastor? Entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others. If we're not doing that, again, we're failing in our role as shepherds of the church. It's not just do all the teaching. It's entrust these things to other people who will be able to teach these things. So
be prepared to endure the hardships.
Yes.
2 Timothy 2:7, the Lord will give you understanding in all.
Hmm. Yep. Correct. That's huge. Correctly handling.
16 is a great godless chatter, so I just think of more of those.
Yep.
The talk of the world to avoid that.
Yep.
2:24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach.
Yep. And then we're going to kind of have to skip through this here. So 3:16 and 17. It's one of the key ones. What's that say? How much of Scripture is inspired by God?
All.
And what's it useful for?
Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training.
That's right. Yep. Chapter 4, verse 1. What's that one say?
I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead.
Yeah. To do what?
Preach the word.
Yep. So what is Paul's charge to Timothy as a pastor? To do what? Huh? Preach the word. What is his charge to Timothy? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So whether it's popular and people want to hear it, whether it's unpopular and it's rejected, it doesn't change anything. You're called to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We'll skip Titus, but what are some of your big takeaways from looking at what these books say about teaching? What are some kind of things that kind of hit you like, oh wow, that's, I don't know.
It's not to be taken lightly.
Not to be taken lightly, yeah. What else?
I think it's more than head knowledge. It's how your heart communicates that and how you treat other people.
Yeah.
Great responsibility with great expectations.
Yes. Kind of along what Jeannie's saying, but how you live matters. Anything else?
And great warnings for doing it falsely.
Yeah, I think that's the other big thing. What you teach matters. So how you live matters, and what you teach matters. Yeah, so it's not something you've taken lightly. It's more than head knowledge. It's a big responsibility. It matters the way you live. Your life needs to match what you're teaching. Think about James, do not be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But then what you teach matters as well. And if you're going to teach true doctrine, what you should probably what? Know true doctrine, right? Yeah.
Well, I felt like Rotten's and Titus was very important because there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception.
Yes.
Especially those in the circumcision group.
Yeah.
And they must be silent. So you have to be bold.
Absolutely. Yeah, boldness. Yeah. Boldness in the word. Bold where the word is bold. I think maybe we can go wrong on that sometimes. We think, well, I've got to be bold, but really you're just being a jerk. You know, doesn't mean be a jerk. I know you're not saying that, but it's saying boldness where the word calls for boldness.
Scripture boldly, so this false stuff won't carry on further.
Absolutely, yeah. Not tolerating false teaching, understanding the danger. Certainly.
Do you think boldness could mean courage?
Boldness could mean courage. Absolutely. Yeah.
You have the courage.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're afraid.
Right. Absolutely. Not being ashamed of the gospel, right? Of understanding.
Not hitting them over with the Bible, but have the courage.
Yeah. And that's not always easy to kind of find that line between, again, are you being courageous or are you being pig-headed? I don't know, bowling for, like, having the ability to discern between those things. Yeah.
Something, I don't know if it was in these books we read, but it's the thought occurs to me to be bold, yes, but to be prepared with what you have to say. The scripture somewhere that says, be prepared to give your testimony.
Uh-huh.
So, which I think if you may not be bold enough to say something to somebody, that would give you the boldness because you know what you're going to say ahead of time.
Well, and then the second half of that verse, always be prepared and do so with what? Gentleness and respect. So it is, there's always be ready to make a defense for your faith. I think we grab onto that side, but then also to do so with gentleness and respect. And so
you could be drawn into the arguing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
And also keep in mind the purpose is for training, rebuking, and building others up in the Word, and not for, as they call it, shameful gain. Like,
yes. Yes.
That kind of goes back to your point about, you know, standing up in front of people and worrying about how people see you.
Yes.
You're taking the eyes off of yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, that's so good. Yeah, remembering the purpose. It's not for shameful gain. Where is that? Is that 1 Peter? What's that? Yeah, Titus chapter 1. Yeah, so, being bold in the gospel and understanding that what saved you, being cautious, not tolerating false teaching, but and at the same time doing so with gentleness and respect, and understanding like false teaching in the church from believers is different than what the world is saying. We need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of believing what the world is saying that's contrary to the gospel. But that is where we are making sure that we interact in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ that is in us. And yet not at the same time when Paul's talking about false teaching that's infiltrating the church that's dragging people away. And yeah.
Just trusting in the Lord ultimately with all of that.
Yeah.
And the day leaving with Him, because Paul says, like at the end of 2 Timothy, he had done all the things right, and he said that people had given him great harm. He opposed his message. No one was standing with him. Everybody left him.
Yeah.
Doing all the things, but trust in the Lord, because then ultimately it says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that it would be fully proclaimed and spread.
Amen.
So just trusting in the Lord despite it may not go well.
Yes. Amen. Love that. That's a great word. It's a great word to end on. We made it through half of the material that I prepared this morning, so learning what things, how much we can and can't get through. Great job. Next week, you're going to see how much I prepared. There we go. Next week, we're going to talk about exegesis. What the heck is it, and how do I do it right? So that's going to be Pastor Jerry's going to be leading us through that next week. Excited for that. He's got some good activities planned as well. Let me pray, and then we can head over to service. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this time together this morning. Just looking to your word, even though we didn't get through half of what I prepared. Time spent looking in your word is not time wasted at all. And so just thank you for that. And Lord, as we look at these things that we took away, that teaching is not something that should be taken lightly. It's a great responsibility that you call us to, Lord, that our lives matter and our doctrine matters, and we're called to be bold in the way that we teach, Lord. So even as I think about going and preaching in just a few minutes, I pray that these things would be true of me, Lord, that you would equip me, not just in confidence in what I'm going to say, but in your spirit moving and working and applying the word to people's hearts and lives in different ways. So thank you for this time, Lord. You're so good. We pray that you would use this to glorify your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.